appreciate one more time the opportunity to be in service with you folks. It has been a pleasant, a wonderful trip, a refreshing, a time of refreshing. And appreciate all of y'all in this area and pray for you. And I really do believe Brother Philip follows the leadership of the Spirit, but it could be strategy here because I got to get out of here to get a plane flight. So if I preach long, well, I guess I'll be here tomorrow. I beg an interest in your prayers. I appreciate so much what has gone on before this morning and stirred my mind. And that is just a subject that I have gotten lost in. And thank the Lord I learned so much this morning. But just the Holy Spirit, you know, we're prone to think that, that we could have lived in the time Christ and walked with Christ. All those, that would have been so great. Well, I tell you, we've got it better. And those, I mean, it was, we think that, oh, to walk with Christ, but how many times did the Lord say, will ye go away also? I mean, we go to John 14 is where I want to be this afternoon. And in the Old Testament, we have God the Father. Now, I got to be careful when I do this. It's whenever you start tearing apart the Trinity and saying, okay, this one does that. Like Brother James meant, you know, well, we think the Spirit warns people again. Well, the Son of God says, and live, and they live. No one can come to me except the Father draw them, as he said. But there's administrations, if you will. That's the only, I was trying to think of a word to use for that. In the Old Testament, the communication was with God the Father. He gave the law. He gave the Ten Commandments directly to Moses. And we can see that. And of course, we see the Scriptures and the prophets were inspired by the Spirit. But they were prophesying of a time when Jesus, the Son of God, the God would come and walk this earth. And that was a period there. And you know, here in the 14th chapter of John, he's about to tell them, I'm going away. I'm leaving. And don't you imagine, you know, here's a downfall whenever we say all that we could live in that time and walk the walk with Jesus and go with him. Well, you know what? He says, I'm going away. But the time we're living in, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit is not going away until we go away. And but Jesus said, well, he starts this chapter off by, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Well, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How? He says, we don't know the way. I tell you, how did he know the way? That Holy Ghost, that Spirit that Brother James was talking about this morning, that when they at the moment of new birth is implanted in us. And I tell you, it knows the way. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, oh, it's kind of a depressing chapter. It goes about how when we get older and you're going to, this is going to happen. You're going to lose your sight and all these metaphors for that. And then it says, and then shall the dust return to the earth. Oh, but listen here. All of that stuff that just gets you down. But I tell you, just like that, it changes. It says, and then the Spirit return unto God who gave it. I tell you, that Spirit is implanted in us. As we heard this morning, we're taking the very God, very Spirit of God in us. Oh, and it's welling up within us, crying, Abba, Father. It knows the way. Just like that's one of those things. Where is heaven? How's it going to get there? Just like, I don't know, but it is. Now, he says, verse 16. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye shall see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. I will not, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I tell you, is that a message we need to remember now? That the Lord says, I will not leave you. This, imagine these, in these, this circumstance. They had their ups and downs, their moments of not following. I mean, look at the Apostle Peter. Then he says, I'm going away. But then he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send the Comforter. And he calls it even the Spirit of truth. I will pray and he will give you another Comforter that ye may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. You remember John chapter 3. Nicodemus says, we perceive. I'm in John, I can get there. We perceive that thou art a great prophet. Came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Nicodemus goes through all of that. But right there what he said, that news, that declaration, if you have seen, he's saying, you perceive that I'm a teacher come from God. You couldn't see that except you were born again. I tell you, what have you seen in the church? What have you been blessed? What messages have you been blessed of the Lord to hear I believe you've heard the gospel preached in power and demonstration before. I believe that the Lord has sent that comforter. Oh, in Isaiah 40, he says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Cry unto Jerusalem. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. I tell you, I want you to know. I want people to hear the sound of my voice, to know that your warfare is accomplished. And I tell you, that's comforting. Because living in this world, we do not feel like our warfare is accomplished, do we? We battle day and night, ups and downs of this life. We don't know what to do, and we do wrong, and we just get depressed. Oh, wretched man that I am, as Apostle Paul says. He did it too. He went through it too. But I tell you, whenever you can hear the gospel preached, the gospel of a finished work of Jesus Christ, the gospel of our salvation, that all the work was accomplished on the cross of Calvary. Yeah, I tell you, we still got battles. And we still, we lose them from time to time, and we don't want. We hate it. But I tell you, you can rest in knowing that the Lord hath won the war. Comfort. He sends them. I will send you the Comforter. Have you felt it in your life? How good is our God that He does this for us? You know, sometimes my kids, they do something wrong. I'll just like, I'll fix it. But I'm going to let them suffer a little while. But I tell you, we did something wrong. The Lord fixed it. And I tell you, He sends His Spirit, the Comforter, to tell us the remedy for sin. And that is Jesus Christ. I'll send the Comforter, He said. I will not leave you comfortless. I want to go through a few instances where we can see that. That moment happening. In Acts we have Jesus Christ, the first chapter, when He went up in a cloud. And remember, He went up in a cloud and those men, they looked steadfast. Verse 10, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. I tell you, that's the gospel right there. He's coming back. I tell you, I thought about, I kind of studied before I came here. I hadn't preached it. The reason Paul, all the times he was called into question. I mean, he went up the hierarchy of the government. And, you know, the Jews, he was a Pharisee, raised a Pharisee. But they believed in God. They said they did. That wouldn't have offended them. Well, the Pharisees also believed in the resurrection. But that's what he was called into question for, with the Sadducees and others. Was it Agrippa? Why think you something that Christ will raise the dead? I tell you, that's the gospel right there. Oh, that Jesus went into the grave and 3 days later He rose victorious. As I quoted earlier, He was delivered for our offenses but raised again for our justification. I tell you that the gospel of the resurrection of Christ. Oh, that'll comfort you. Next chapter, chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What does that mean? I tell you, it means that each man, no matter what language they said, they heard them. They heard it, and the gospel was preached unto them. And I tell you, the gospel cannot be, it's the very power of God, and it cannot be bound by language. And there they were dwelling at Jerusalem, devout men. Verse 7, they were all amazed and marveled, saying one another, behold, are not these which speak Galileans, and how we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. There it is right there. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. I tell you, we can get lost in all prophesying and dreams. But I tell you, the Lord says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on them. And I tell you, He's going to pour it out on His church. I tell you, and that's the comforter. That is the comforter that strengthens us, that binds us up. We can be soothed and just put at rest. And I tell you, we can walk comfortably. You know, one part of the armor of God? Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I tell you, you got to have some comfortable shoes in your armor. And the gospel is crying that your warfare is accomplished. I tell you, you can stand. If you're going to stand a long time, you want to have a good understanding. You want to have a good comfort. You want to have good shoes on. And I tell you, the gospel is that. He pour out His Spirit. Now we see they were all Jews there, but here over in the 10th chapter of Acts, this is a special, it's a great chapter, but I'm going to tell you why it's special to me here in a minute. Talking about Cornelius, a certain man of Caesarea, called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave him much alms to the people and prayed to God always. That tells us right there who he was, and that tells us enough to know that he was a child of God. And you know that he had not heard the gospel, because for one, it hadn't come to the Gentiles yet, but it is about to. So he hadn't heard the gospel, but it says he was a devout man. He saw in a vision. Now, I got to make sure I don't read this whole chapter or I'll miss my flight, you know. Evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner. I can hear Brother Walden say, he even gave him the address. Whose house is by the sea, he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. I tell you, the Spirit is working right now in Cornelius' life. But there's another side of this. And it needed some work, too. Cornelius sends for Peter. So that happens. Now, let's see here. Now, while on the morrow, as they went on their journey, verse 9, and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Not a good answer to the Lord. Not so. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Oh, what a lesson to be learned. Peter, a Jew, and I tell you, they referred to the Gentiles as dogs. They couldn't talk to them. Couldn't keep company. But God is teaching Peter something right now. This was done thrice, and the vessel was freed. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they asked for him. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. You ever had a moment and you have the Spirit leading you, but you don't know why. You don't know what's going on. But then just like that, it clicks. Oh. Peter. While Peter thought on them, three men seek thee. He said, Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing. For I have sent them. Why? I said at the beginning of this was special to me. Because I pastor Stratton. And I had a burden for Stratton. I felt that I was to be at Stratton. But I was not going to promote myself. You don't have to. And at the same time, in May of that year, Brother Walden passed away. And I'll never forget when the deacons came and talked to me. They won't call you pastor. And one of them said, Please don't feel like you have to take it. And I was like, man, if you only knew. I tell you, the Lord was working on both sides. And here we can see the Lord working on both sides through His Spirit. He tells us in the Proverbs 3, lean not unto thine own understanding. I tell you, the Lord will lead us in all that we need to do. He's promised. Oh, like he said this morning, don't be like those that do all the talking and not listen. Those are annoying, aren't they? Don't be annoying. I tell you, listen. 30th chapter of Isaiah says, a voice coming from behind you saying, This is the way, walk ye therein. I tell you, the Lord guides His sheep with His Spirit. And He guides His churches with the Spirit. It's a beautiful thing. That was just a beautiful moment in my life. Because it's fearful. I'm like, this is what I think I'm supposed to do. Do they feel the same way? You know? It's kind of like dating, you know, when you're teenagers. I don't know. I like you. Do you like me? No. But, and then whenever you just see how the Lord, we say, working behind the scenes. I tell you, He is the scene. He is directing me. And here it happened. You gotta realize the 180 that Peter had to make here. He just told the Lord, I'm not eating these things because I've never eaten anything unclean or common. And God, what is he was telling him there? He was telling that these Gentiles are my people. Peter was coming down. Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet in worship. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. And he said unto them, verse 28, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, say I, came I unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent, I tell you, when you have that peace on what the Lord has guided you to do, do it. Do it. Brother Philip, I hate to compliment him. But he always tells me, and he tried to teach me, that he follows the leadership of the Spirit. And to this morning, it would have made the most sense for me to go this morning. And if I need to leave early this afternoon, I can go on out. But I tell you what, and I don't know if I'm much better now, but I didn't have nothing this morning. What a laugh. And I was like, well, I guess. And whenever Brother James got up there and says, you know, I don't want to come up with something, I was like, that's what I was doing. I was trying to come up with something. I tell you, he works in his church. Quick story, how I got here. I had the opportunity to moderate a meeting he's at. He's going to be through Sunday, but Saturday morning, you know what I tried to do? I tried to follow leadership of the Spirit. I come and tell him, I want you to go second. He goes, have you lost your mind? That's what he said. I said, you don't think I'm following the leadership of the Spirit? That shut him down just like that. That's what we need to do in our church, in our personal life. Verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, saying, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Verse 44, I need to get to the end of this. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Have you received the Holy Ghost and not been baptized? Have you had that heart burning up within you? I forgot who I was talking to. I can't remember which one it was. On the porch. But they said, you know, Brother Caleb, I held on to that pew for 2 years maybe. I said, I did it. I think his was a few months. He's better than me. I was like 4 years. I was 11 whenever I first went. I mean, I can remember the sermon that was preached. I mean, I'd heard sermons preached before, but this one hit me. It was on salvation by R.A. Tyndall. And I can remember where I was sitting at Bethel in the little theater seats we had on the side. I remember that day. But you know what? I didn't join the church till I was 15. And that was 4 years of me every Sunday almost struggling, just saying, no, 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 no. And I tell you, finally the Lord sent a message to me. My pastor preached, "Take my yoke upon you." And I told him, why were you looking at me the whole time? He says, "I wasn't looking at you." Well, I sure felt like he was. I tell you, the Spirit was working on me. It's like it said, "That is enough." I'm not saying that I couldn't withstrain, but I tell you, it was enough for me. They received the Holy Ghost, and he says, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Chapter 15 of Acts. Goodness. We have that time when the Jews were saying these Gentiles need to be circumcised. They were trying to put a law. And I'm gonna quit reading and tell you about it. 15th chapter of Acts. And it was a great contention. I think this was kind of like first peace meeting, you know. They had elders and coming from everywhere to discuss this with a council to discuss this matter. That the Jews are saying these Gentiles need to be circumcised like we are. But you know what the proof was that Peter stood up? He says, "I have preached unto them, and the Spirit of God has blessed me. It came out. It was poured out on them just like it is with you." And he says, "Why tempt ye God by putting on a yoke upon them that neither we nor our fathers could bear? For we are determined that we," I love this, "we Jews, even as they, are saved by grace." I tell you, what a message is that. And what was the proof for him? He says, "I know it. I know these are not under the law. That you can't put a law on them. I know it because the gospel was preached unto them." And I tell you, what a blessing it is. I'm not saying I'm doing it now, but I have heard the gospel preached here this week. I have been here before when I heard the gospel preached. And I tell you, it tells me something. It tells me that the Lord, in the 40th Psalm, it says, "I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me." I tell you, when the Lord blesses you, and I tell you, He's amazing, because He can be blessing you, and you might not be getting anything. Because, I don't know, maybe you did something wrong, didn't come in the right frame of mind. Maybe you were like me this morning. I tell you, but the Lord can just, I've had the strangest things. I got to preach a church discipline subject. And I'm like thinking before I do it, okay, this is who I'm coming after. And this one over here is not going to like it. But you know what? This one over here is like, that was so beautiful. And I was like, "You got that out of it?" I was like, I said that. I tell you, that's the Lord and the power of the gospel. It comes directly to you. It comforts directly you. And I tell you, it is a personal experience. It is a personal thing. And I tell you, you can leave God's house when that happens and say, "The Lord has thought on me today." Oh, what a blessing that is. And it was proof enough for Peter. Thessalonians. Apostle Paul. "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor, of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father." Verse 4, he says, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." Why? How do you know that? "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power I tell you, when the gospel's preached, it's powerful. I don't care if you're up here jumping and yelling or if you're a fairly calm person. If the gospel's being preached, there's going to be power there. And it came also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men were among you for your sake. I tell you, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. He visits us in our lives, but I tell you this is the place. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. I tell you, this is the place we can come and literally hear from God and literally have fellowship with God and literally commune with God. And I tell you, you can go away knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. You're His. And He I almost said took time out of His day. That was dumb. But He thought on you because He loves you. May God bless and keep you as we part. And may we meet again, if not here, in His bright home.